We were deplatformed from Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter within hours.
To all Americans, we say, we will be fooled no longer. The tiny emperor has no clothes.
1 year ago, they tried to censor the truth, but we stood tall and refused to be silenced, and the truth remains alive. Get ready for a repeat of the viral press conference that rattled the world. America's Frontline Doctors presents White Coat Summit, the 1 year anniversary.
Good morning. Thank you for being here today. I'm Dr. Simone Gold. I'm the founder of America's Frontline Doctors. You might remember us from this time last year when we stood on the steps of the Supreme Court to bring truth and light to the American people and people all across the world. We were so dismayed by the disinformation and the censorship that had taken over that we said we had to come to D.C. and just talk to the people, and that's what we did. As you know, we hit 20 million views in about 8 hours and were promptly deplatformed by big tech, taken down. So we decided to come back 1 year later on the 1 year anniversary of our White Coat Summit, right here back at the Supreme Court of the United States. See? Well, not exactly. This time we are not in the Supreme Court, and the reason is that I needed permission to go to Washington, D.C. because of some, in my mind, illegal attempts to silence voices who disagree with the narrative. So we're here in the great state, the great freedom state of Texas. Yeah. And we are back, this time with more information than ever. This time, in addition to our panel of physicians standing here behind me, some of our finest America's Frontline Doctors physicians, we'll also hear about all the activities AFLDS has been involved in this past year in terms of setting people free, human freedom, and liberty. So we'll hear from doctors to get the basis of the scientific information, the real truth. Then we'll hear from lawyers who are fighting hard for human freedom. And later on in the day, you'll hear from our Citizen Corps, citizencorps@afLDS.org, so that we, the citizens, can continue to have a voice in pursuit of our own freedom and independence. So sit tight, buckle up. It's going to be a fantastic day. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. I would never have imagined a year ago that we would be here celebrating the anniversary of the White Coat Summit. Not because I didn't think we had staying power, and not because I didn't think our message was righteous and one of truth, but because I didn't think there'd be a need. I could not have imagined that this would have gone on as long as it has, and that we would be under the state of tyranny that we are in currently. When I think back of coming to that White Coat Summit the first time, I recall my naivete about what was really happening. I thought we were going to Washington, D.C., and we were going to provide information that there was treatment, and that once people had that information, this would really unravel itself. I just had no idea. And so I recall that, and then I think about all that we've been put through over the year. And I like to focus on some of the silver linings, which is that we have this tremendous group of brave, independent physicians who literally, there's thousands of us around the world that are connected, sharing our treatment protocols. We now have a legal team. We've got citizens standing up. It's really been a beautiful uniting of people, but I wish there weren't the need in the first place. I'm glad we're here celebrating, renewing our drive to keep fighting for our freedoms. And I'm glad you're here today watching us here and around the world online. So with that, I'd like to introduce my colleague, Dr. Ryan Cole from Idaho. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Ryan Cole. I'm an anatomic, clinical, and dermatopathologist. I run the largest independent medical lab in the state of Idaho and serve patients all around the nation. I'm grateful to be here to speak about science, not the science, because there's no such thing as the science. Science evolves. Science is exploring. Science is thinking. Science is proving, disproving. Well, this year we've had an interesting thing happen. We've started to inject something into humanity that we've never done before on a mass scale. And I know a lot of people are asking themselves, what are we injecting into each other? And why are we doing it without knowing the long-term outcomes? I know a lot of people have the questions, what are in these vials? What are in these needles? What are in these shots? You know what? A lot of us don't know. Now, I've examined some of them, I've looked at it, and a lot of the untoward things that you hear about and a little bit of the naysaying, you know, some of those things aren't there. Does it glow? No. Are there little microchips? No. Are they magnetic? Well, it's interesting. A couple of jars are. Not all jars are either, so I would like to know why. But it's interesting. We should be asking why, what, and for how long we're going to keep doing this. We need journalists, investigative journalists, true journalists, not editorialists. We need investigative journalists saying, what are we putting into human bodies? I mean, these are chemicals, lipids, et cetera, we've never put into humanity before. Where are the scientists? Where are the toxicologists? Where are all the papers saying, this is what it is, and this is what we're doing? You know what we don't know? We don't know the long-term effects of these. And the interesting thing, too, now that we have a new variant, a new scariant moving around the world, is those who have already received the shots seem to be getting a lot of the variant, whereas those who have had the disease have natural immunity. And we know in science, not the science, that a natural broad immunity is much better than a brief vaccine immunity. So my encouragement to all of us, I could speak for hours on this, but my encouragement is for us to start thinking, step away from what we're hearing in the narratives, and actually delve in. And let's not put humanity at risk. And one more thing, as mandates are starting to happen and employers are threatening their employees for not being willing to be a subject in the largest experiment on humanity ever without informed consent, without knowledge of the long-term side effects, disease, death, fertility issues, cancer issues, autoimmune issues, it is time to step back and stop this. This is not science. This is tyranny with a needle. Let's stop. And as I mentioned, I could talk forever, but I won't. I would like to introduce my colleague, Dr. Armstrong, and I'll turn over the podium to him. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My name is Dr. Robin Armstrong, and I'm an internal medicine physician here in the great state of Texas. So welcome to Texas, everyone. That deserves an applause. It's such an honor to be here. You know, I treated early on in this pandemic. I have a large hospital-based practice and a nursing home practice. And early on in this pandemic, late March, early April of 2020, we treated a large number of nursing home patients successfully with hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc, and we were attacked for it. You know, I'll tell you, at the beginning of this pandemic, the decision was made by a lot of folks, and certainly this happened in New York and a lot of other states, the decision was made to keep our most frail and elderly folks in the nursing homes and allow them to die. That decision was made to not treat them. And it was made because our hospitals were going to be so overloaded that we weren't going to have enough rooms for our young people, people that I guess someone considered more valuable. Bad decision. Second decision was made in regards to our elderly and most frail population. They decided to lock them down, lock them in their nursing homes, lock them in their rooms. This had devastating effects. Devastating effects socially, devastating effects emotionally, and folks died because they were locked down. They were isolated from their families for over a year, could not see their families. There are many folks who I talked to, family members, who had to bury their elderly loved ones without having seen them for a year. That is wrong. I really believe that we should have poured all of our resources, all of our personal protective equipment, all of our treatment modalities, all of the methods and means that we had to treat people, we should have poured that into our nursing homes. We should have poured that into our elderly community, because these are valuable people, our grandparents and our parents. These are valuable people that we should have protected and we should have cared for better, and we should not have locked them down. Moving forward, I think that what we need to do is focus. Focus like a laser beam. Now we have these other variants out there. Focus on as a laser beam on that most vulnerable population. You know, there's a quote that I like to use. It says, the trajectory of a nation. I mean, you can tell where a nation is going to go and how they treat their very young and how they treat their very old. We've got, you know, issues now where we don't treat our very young well in the womb. And now we're not treating our very old well. We are better than this as a nation, and I think we have to turn this around. We have to be able to deliver care. There are treatment modalities that we can be prophylaxing our elderly with hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. There are treatment modalities that we can be treating them with if, God forbid, they are infected. There are things that we can do to extend the lives of our greatest generation, who overwhelmingly has been bore the brunt of this pandemic. You know, the statistics say that 80% of the folks who have died during this pandemic have been over the age of 65. That is where all our resources should go. That is who we should be caring for. And we should stand up for them. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for our elderly. Stand up for our most vulnerable. And I believe that that is going to make us greater as a nation. It says a lot about us as a nation. Thank you very much. I'm going to turn it over to physician and fellow Texan, Dr. Angela Ferrella.
Good morning. My name is Dr. Angie Ferrella. I'm a pediatrician in Webster, Texas, and I'm also the medical director for the pediatric division of American Frontline Doctors. This year has been a horrible year for our kids. This year, we have done more wrong for our children than we have ever done in history. Our kids weren't allowed to go to school. Our kids were gagged with masks. Our kids were taken away from their families. Our kids were taken away from their activities. Our kids suffered. We took away their childhood. Think about it. We have caused irreparable damage for years to come with 1 year. And I stand before you today to really impress on you how much we have to make up for our children. Our kids are not lab rats. Our kids are the heartbeat of our country. Our kids are 30% of our population, but 100% of our future. We have to do so much better for these children. My kiddos are suffering just like everyone else's kids. I'm a mom, I'm a pediatrician, I'm a doc, and I'm here before you today because I am an advocate for all children, not just my own, but yours too. So I want to impress on you how much we have to step up, all of us, not just the doctors, not just the lawyers, all of us, citizens of the great United States of America, because our kids are worth it. And I'm not going to berate this because there's someone that does this so much better than me. I'm going to turn this over to Dr. McDonald. He's amazing. He's my cohort. And I love him. So I'm going to bring him down.
Thank you. I also happen to be a bit tall, so indulge me while I adjust the mic. Rising case numbers, mask mandates, school closures, businesses being shut down. Sounds a lot like 2020. My name is Dr. Mark McDonald. I am a child and adolescent psychiatrist from Los Angeles, California. I believe the medical battle is over. We won it a long time ago. But there is a battle that's still continuing, and it's a psychological one. 1 year ago, I said that truth, meaning information, which is what we've been providing for the last 14 months, and courage, which is the willingness to take a risk, to put something up on the table at a cost to you or the people that you care about, were and are absolutely necessary for us to succeed in this battle. But what I've realized now after a year is that it's really not enough. I treat children, adolescents, and adults, and after 1 year, 1 year of being shut down inside of a home, not being able to go to school, being forced to wear masks inside and outside, children come to my practice now, and they are absolutely unable to return to life. I had a child in my practice, came in for his visit 2 days ago, and his mother said he can't attend sleepovers, he can't go to camp, he won't even go outside and play. He's stuck on a screen all day long, and he can't leave his mother's side because he's developed such anxiety about living that he's even lost the motivation to live. He doesn't want to. He is not unique. No matter what we do medically, that is not going to go away. I believe we have to fight this at an individual and at a societal level. We need individual transformation. We also need new structures, new systems, new institutions, so that individuals who are like-minded, who do believe in truth, who do believe in courage, can band together and support one another and fight back against the tyranny. I believe that is the next level. I wish that, as we've all been saying today, that we didn't even have to be here other than to celebrate vanquishing of the war that we started a year ago. We have won some of the battles, but the war isn't over. The next war is up here, and we have to be smart, and we have to fight back in order to win. Thank you.
You know, I look around the world this past year, and I see a division. It's not left-right. It's not by political party. It's not Republican-Democrat. It's not liberal-conservative. It's not by race. It's not by color. It's not by gender. It's not by religion. It's not by sexual orientation. The division I see in the world today is big versus little. The division I see is the individual versus the group. AFLDS believes that the individual has rights that can never be abridged by the group. Every time the group steps on the individual, the group steps closer to communism. Journalists who want to dismiss America's frontline doctors as being anti-vax are just being lazy. Not only have virtually all AFLDS physicians taken vaccines personally and given thousands and thousands of vaccines professionally throughout their careers, AFLDS is not even in the so-called vaccine fight. Our fight is against medical tyranny. We fight for the individual over the collective. Our government is required to ensure that all Americans enjoy certain rights, always, everywhere, and forever. Those rights are in our Constitution. As you have noticed, the First Amendment is on life support. I want to remind those foolish people who say things like, you can't say something that's misleading, that there is no need for a First Amendment to be able to say roses are beautiful. We only need a First Amendment to say those things with which others disagree. Never before have doctors and scientists been unable to say doctor and science things. And that's the world we're living in today. It has never happened. Now the 14th Amendment is also in jeopardy. The 14th Amendment gives each human being the right, the absolute right of sovereignty over their own body. The right to not have your skin pierced by a needle if you don't want it is the literal definition of the 14th Amendment. There is certainly no exception for a virus that kills people who are at or exceeded their life expectancy. The right to bodily integrity has been enforced by the Supreme Court of the United States over and over again. It was important in Roe v. Wade and has been cited repeatedly in defense of abortion rights, including Griswold versus Connecticut and Casey versus Planned Parenthood. Anyone who says, my body, my choice, is really saying, I love my 14th Amendment rights. Our 14th Amendment right is so strong, it has prevented the government from making a law requiring experimental shots. The Constitution protects the individual over the collective. We fight for the individual. Our nation came to be a nation in two parts. Multiple states agreed to stand together only if individual rights were guaranteed. Our entire existence as a nation is based upon individuals refusing to kneel to big government. When we became a nation, the first thing we did was create laws that said never again would the individual simply be an accessory to the collective. Well, right here, right now, individuals are being treated as an accessory to the collective. That is communism. The answer is no, never, not here. Each individual has inalienable rights guaranteed by the government. Because our rights are being violated, America's Frontline Doctors is filing many lawsuits. We believe the Supreme Court of the United States will have to affirm that my body, my choice is still the law of the land. But in the meanwhile, every single person must push back on the medical tyranny in their own life. This is not about a vaccine. This was never about a mask. This is never even about a virus. This is about the individual over the collective. This is about my body, my choice. Whatever your decision, it is your decision, because the individual matters. Your employer, your husband, your mother, your TV, your social media acquaintances, they do them, you do you. When people ask if you've gotten the shot, you're not required to answer. You can say, that is my private health information, and by the way, how has your colonoscopy gone lately? It is wildly inappropriate to inquire about your individual medical decisions. Remind them that since Roe v. Wade, Griswold versus Connecticut, Casey versus Planned Parenthood, that the law of the land is my body, my choice. Remind them that your medical decisions are your choice. Remind them that you are an American and Americans don't live on their knees. I ask all pro-choice people to join AFLDS. If you don't stand with my body, my choice against the collective who wants to force individuals to take a shot, do you seriously think your 14th Amendment will still be there when you want it? I ask all pro-life people to join me. If they can force a person to take a shot that is so much evidence of death and destruction, it is clear that human life is irrelevant. The silver lining of the massive oppression that we've endured for 18 months is that it has created an incredible opportunity. For the first time in many decades, we can unify pro-choice and pro-life people. I ask both sides to join forces now, because the issue is not left versus right, not liberal versus conservative. The issue is the big over the little. The issue is the individual's right over their own body, their own mind, their own health. The issue is the individual versus the collective. I stand before the American people in this very unique role as a doctor, a lawyer, a woman, and a mom. I say to you now that this is the one issue that unites the pro-choice and pro-life communities. Do you agree, my body, my choice? Check. Do you agree that life is sacred? Check. Do you want to ensure that you personally have dominion over your own body? That nobody, no government, no employer, no school, no health insurance, no parent can ever tell you what medical procedure you can have? My body, my choice. That is what AFLDS stands for. Do you want to ensure that society does not discard the old and the frail and the weak like they did in 2020 when they threw away our elderly? Do you want to ensure that society does not trample on the birthright of the young, healthy children? Their birthright is to live a long and healthy life. Life is sacred. That is what AFLDS stands for. Our founding fathers knew that medical tyranny could bring down our nation. A quote attributed to Dr. Benjamin Rush, a signer to the Declaration of Independence, and personal physician to George Washington, is unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize into an undercover dictatorship to deny equal privileges to others. This is not new. We're just battling it in a new age. So I have three calls to action. The first is to resist medical tyranny in your own life. Go to AFLDS.org and learn all you need to know, and perhaps join one of our lawsuits. The second is to refuse to live in fear. We will win because we have all the advantages. Yes, the other side has big media, big tech, big pharma, big schools, and corrupted overlords. But we have joy, love, humanity, faith, and freedom. We will triumph. Third, let us join forces. It is not right versus left. It is not conservative versus liberal. And it is not even pro-choice or pro-life. It is the big versus the little. It is the individual versus the collective. And in this battle, we Americans do not live on our knees. Join AFLDS.org, and together we will show the world just how big little is. Thank you. So we continue America's Frontline Doctors press conference this morning, and I'm very excited to present to the American people and the people across the world our legal division. We've done a lot this year in terms of pushing back on medical tyranny. The first is to try to help people medically, and you heard from some of our doctors this morning, and you will hear more from them today in our educational sessions. But we've also been working very, very hard on the legal front to push back on medical tyranny. People's legal rights are being trampled. Freedoms are being abridged. We need the help of warrior attorneys, and we've assembled some of the best in the nation at America's Frontline Doctors. I'm going to turn this morning over to our legal director, Ali Schultz.
Thank you, Dr. Gold. The team at America's Frontline Doctors has been hard at work this last year. I would say on average we work about 17 hours a day with the goal to provide the American people with independent information, meaning information that is not paid for by our big pharma collusion with government scientists. I have a team of fierce warrior lawyers here with me working so hard to maintain the ability for you to be able to assert your rights. But we need you to assert them. Whether you want to stab yourself with this injection or not should be your choice. And we are here to try to defend that for you. We're also here to try to defend your ability to be able to speak freely about your choice. Now, this is going to be shocking, but I'm actually not upset that they fast-tracked this experimental vaccine. Operation Warp Speed was truly incredible, if you think about it. Have you ever really seen our government work that fast to get something done? I mean, so many people were living in such fear, driven by the Mockingbird media, that they weren't going to be able to even see their own children until the government told them it was okay. So they needed a reason, and for that, I'm thankful for Operation Warp Speed. But President Trump, I am talking to you now on behalf of the American people. Operation Warp Speed has been weaponized. It was hijacked. What they did, they altered the definition of a vaccine. They took this shot, and then they even altered the definition of what immunity is. And they're using this shot to deprive the American people of our freedom. They're looking to divide us, they're trying to make us weaker, and they're trying to take over America. And we've had enough. That's why we're here fighting. And President Trump, we need your help. I don't know what happened, if you know that this got hijacked, but I need you to know this. You've always said that you stand for individuals and individual rights, And you also said that children should not get this shot. What is going on? We need to figure this out. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I'd like to introduce Deanna Paola. She's going to explain to you her role within FALDS.
Good morning. As doctors and lawyers, we deal in facts and evidence. But we're here on the front line battling against fictions that have become our reality. I want to invite, actually, I want to summon the attorneys to the front lines because you are needed in this battle now. It's time to get back to the facts. Let's stop pretending that the silencing of medical and scientific voices negates scientific facts. Let's stop pretending that we have no right to question the science and the scientists. Let's stop pretending that the CDC is a government authority with enforcement powers. Let's stop pretending that the only treatment is an experimental shot. Let's stop pretending that lockdowns, restrictions, and mandates are constitutional. Enough of the fictions. Let's stick to the facts and the truth.
Hello, I'm attorney Joey Gilbert, and I'm the director of strategy for AFLDS. Wow. First of all, you know, when you go to battle, the most important thing you bring with you, at least as a fighter, is your corner. And as you can see, I have some of the most esteemed and accomplished teammates or corner in the business, and that is going to be something that is tried and tested. Now, one thing that I've come across through this, you know, last 6 months has been truly, you know, mind-blowing in every aspect. You know, we see every day cases from across America, Americans crying out. They're terrified. They're absolutely horrified that their government is not only threatening them with their civil liberties, their personal freedoms, and their constitutional rights, all while holding medical tyranny over their head. And so daily, we're trying to decide what cases we're going to take. And the amount of work and time, money per case is absolutely huge. Now, when we first decided to file lawsuits, it was to protect the children. I don't think anybody has any argument or could dispute that the children need to be protected. And now we're seeing our government first already starting to inject ages 12 and above, moving closer to injecting 2 and above, which is absolutely, you know, beyond the pale. So shooting up the kids, I think that is where Dr. Gold drew the line in the sand. And as many know, we filed first in the Northern District of Alabama, and I'll let Mr. Bopp step up and speak to detail about that. But can you imagine children whose immune system is so robust and so intense that this type of injection is going to create more harm than good. As we know, as the studies we've now seen could present a 50 times greater chance of death from the injection from this experimental therapy than from COVID itself. Moving on, the COVID recovered, our college students, virtually anybody, you know, age 0 to 30, you know, for lack of words. You're dealing with a demographic of the population, many of which, well, 30, 40%, possibly higher, have had this, contracted it, made it through it, developed natural immunity. And what are we learning now? That it's putting them in a much more complicated and dangerous situation to get this shot after they've had COVID and recovered naturally. Why is that? Because it destroys the antibodies they've built naturally. It makes no sense. There's no rhyme or reason behind it. And that's where America's frontline doctors has stepped up from the legal side to try and put an end to it. More importantly, I would say then, the colleges where you've got young people who are now being told they cannot return to campus, they cannot finish their degrees. They've spent, some of them, tens of thousands, and in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars to receive their education. And in the final semester, the final year, some of them finishing their MBA programs, moving on to, you know, secondary school, whether it's law school or medical school, are being told they cannot return to campus without receiving this experimental, unnecessary, and dangerous gene therapy. Finally, the vaccine injured. I mean, at the end of the day, my God, the VAERS reporting system has been around for more than a decade. And what we have seen in this past 5 months is stark. An increase anywhere from 12,500% to upwards of 28,000% in vaccine injuries, adverse events, serious events from this vaccine, which I will say is more than all vaccine injuries and death combined since they started reporting this. So we say to the American people, we say to the elected representatives, to those of you making the decisions, what are you doing and why? What is really behind this? Why are you trying so hard to put this in people? We've never seen such an unprecedented marketing effort, collusion, coercion, duress, and absolute forcing of people to do something that they do not want to do. It's egregious. And someone has to step up and say no more. Thank you.
I'm Jim Bopp. I'm Director of Litigation for America's Frontline Doctors. If you think back just a few months ago, it seemed like the worst of this COVID pandemic was already in the past. The number of new cases that were occurring in the United States had been reduced by 95%, and it had leveled off at a stage of seasonal flu in terms of its occurrence. And then suddenly, out of the blue, universities across the United States started mandating that their students be vaccinated before they can come to the university in the fall or face virtual expulsion. One of those schools was my alma mater, Indiana University. Well, the irony of that is that college-age students are at an incredibly low risk of any adverse effects of a COVID infection. In fact, those that are over 70 have a 600 times greater risk of adverse effects than do college-age students. And of course, we are hearing calls by the Biden administration, by various representatives and supporters of Big Pharma, that we should mandate vaccinations of every adult in the United States, and some are saying children down to the age of 2. Well, adults in the United States have federal constitutionally protected rights that are fundamental, that courts may, that the government may not abridge without a compelling justification. That has included for centuries now the recognition of the right of every person in the United States to bodily integrity and autonomy, and we've now recognized for decades that that includes the right to refuse or accept medical treatment. So these are fundamental rights that all adults in America have, and that includes students, because after all, college-age students are adults too. Well, I've brought suit on behalf of 8 students against my alma mater, Indiana University, because of their COVID mandate requiring these students to take a in many aspects, untested drug that is, we are seeing increased risks that are, some are particularly associated with college-age students. And we are asserting that adult students have the same constitutionally protected rights that we all have. And I don't think there's any doubt under the Constitution that that is true. However, the first federal judge to hear this case decided, no, They don't. They have the they do not have fundamental constitutional rights to bodily integrity, to autonomy, and to the right to refuse or accept medical treatment, and then upheld the IU mandate. Well, we're not giving up with that, and we're not giving up with these mandates across the United States. I filed the appeal in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday, and we will go. And we will go, if necessary, to the U.S. Supreme Court to get the recognition that any time the right, any rights of American citizens, including the right to bodily integrity, autonomy, and medical treatment choice, can only be overridden with a compelling justification. And as I already explained, that compelling justification for college students at this time simply doesn't exist. Now, America's frontline doctors are mobilizing the legal resources and financial resources necessary to fight these COVID mandates by the government all across the United States. It is well past time that we push back against this government overreach, this willy-nilly violation of constitutional rights, treating adults as children that cannot be trusted to make rational and appropriate decisions about their own body, about their own medical care, and about their own medical treatment. We can trust the American people to do that, and we're going to make sure that the courts recognize that.
Good morning. My name is Michael Hamilton. I'm an attorney from Kentucky, and I am privileged to be a part of AFLDS, to stand shoulder to shoulder with the doctors of AFLDS, who represent centuries collectively of medical experience, medical scholarship. It's a brilliant team of doctors, but most importantly, it's a team of doctors who have said, we're going to say no to medical tyranny. They've had the courage and the integrity to stand up against medical tyranny, and they've assembled a brilliant legal team, a team of lawyers who collectively have hundreds of years of legal experience, and it's a brilliant group. But most importantly, they're men and women of courage and integrity who have said, this far and no farther. Medical tyranny will not take root in America under our watch. C.S. Lewis once said that of all tyrannies, a medical tyranny may be the most oppressive, because it's used against the people for their own good, and with the good conscience of those who are doing it because they think they're doing it for our good. The most oppressive kind of tyranny you can imagine. Now, in the Northern District of Alabama, we have filed a case against the emergency use authorization of these experimental gene therapies that they're calling vaccines. And within the last week, we filed a motion for injunctive relief. We said, we want the court to tell the government that it's no longer okay to inject children under the age of 18. Category one, children under the age of 18 are at zero statistical risk of death from COVID. But they're not at 0% risk of harm from these experimental agents. There's much we don't know, but what we do know is that they are harming untold numbers of people. In that motion for injunctive relief, we attached a declaration from a whistleblower that has access to government websites, a whistleblower who has experience in understanding the real numbers that lie behind the lies that we've been told. Yeah, you've been lied to. We've all been lied to. We've been lied to about the science. We've been lied to about the law. Our freedoms and liberties have been stripped away by unelected bureaucrats, as you've been told. But this whistleblower has provided a sworn declaration under penalty of perjury that the number of deaths in just one of the reporting systems is not less than 45,000. To put that number in perspective, when the swine flu vaccine death numbers hit 53, the program was shut down. We now know that not less than 45,000, and we believe that's a very conservative number, have been killed. But they're still cramming these vaccines down our American throats. Children under the age of 18 should not be vaccinated. Those who have already, category two, those who have already been vaccinated have a natural immunity. They shouldn't be vaccinated. And number three, those who have not received informed consent. And at this time in the United States of America, if you can show me a single person who has received informed consent as the law demands, you will floor me. I don't believe they exist. Nobody's receiving informed consent because medical information is being suppressed. The information about the harm that the vaccines do is being suppressed. The information about the good that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and various protocols that the AFLDS has spoken at length about, the good that they do, that information is being suppressed. You've all been on social media and you've seen the medical misinformation tags that get put on everything that has anything negative to say about the vaccines. Alexander Solzhenitsyn once said that the thing that everyone can do is to refuse to participate in the lie. Do not live by lies, he said. Don't give it a home. We've been lied to, and we will continue to be lied to. AFLDS has said no to participating in the lie. The attorneys... the attorneys behind me and the legal team that AFLDS has assembled, which is more than attorneys, because let me tell you, as attorneys, there's much we couldn't do without the support of a great number of people. But they've said, no, we will no longer participate in the lie. And my fellow Americans, you do not have to participate in the lie. If no one participates in the lie, we're not needed. And frankly, we'd rather not be needed, because the lie dies and we return to freedom. Thank you.
Good morning, Texas.
Good morning.
All right. My name is Todd Callender. I'm one of the lawyers, the criminal law team for America's Frontline Doctors. And I just wanted to honor all you good Texans here. I wore my manly footwear as well, just for you all. And it's a good morning to America, good morning to world. As my colleagues had mentioned, you know, we're all here for a single purpose, doctors, lawyers, people from every walk of life. And we all share one thing in common. I see a sea in front of me right now, because you all are conspiracy theorists. Each and every one of you, particularly the doctors today. So let's think about this for a minute. If you're, you know, I'll pick on the good Dr. Gold. Where'd she go? So she's in her office, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith come walking in, and boy, I'm telling you, Mrs. Smith doesn't look so good. Oh, horrible. Mr. Smith, what happened? Oh, you know, must be the flu, and I'm in horrible pain. Dr. Gold says, well, you know, what are the specific symptoms? There are none. But boy, they sure need some Percocet. You got any more of that Percocet, Dr. Gold? Well, what is that? That's Mr. and Mrs. Smith endeavoring a criminal enterprise. Right? We're going to trick the doctor into giving us a controlled substance. A conspiracy is an agreement between two or more people to endeavor a crime, plan a crime. And one step in furtherance, a conspiracy is in fact a felony in most states, depending on what you're doing. And what is a theory? A theory is what our friends in law enforcement call probable cause. So, you might be a conspiracy theorist if you're a doctor. you might be a conspiracy theorist if you are a refuse engineer. That's garbage collectors for everybody else. You might be a conspiracy theorist if you're a doctor, if you're a teacher and you got students. What are we doing? That's what humans do. We speculate. We try and figure things out. We are all conspiracy theorists. So, in the nature of the criminal case, everything my colleague said, all the doctors and lawyers and others up here, things don't add up. So we speculate and we say, well, what is this truly about, right? We're theorizing. Well, in the criminal law context, all we have to do is get to reasonable suspicion that there might be a crime, and guess what? Law enforcement can open a case. The range of this conspiracy is so broad because all of this is happening in every country, every corner of the world, and it's all unified. It's all being directed by the WHO, as a matter of fact, and that's according to international treaty. 196 countries agreed this. So they've suspended sovereignty and given it to the WHO to direct all of us, and in one unified approach, wow, for an experimental drug they're trying to force people to take. You know, we've been here before as humans. There was a thing called the Nuremberg Convention, and that came out of, guess what, World War II, where the Nazis were doing medical experiments on their prisoners. So, in response to that, the victors of World War II said never again. The countries got together and they created what was a predated UN convention, because the UN was being formed at the same time. And all the countries that signed that ensconced into their local law, in our case, that's the Emergency Use Authorization statute that mimics the Nuremberg Code. And it says, guess what, you don't get to force this on anybody because it's an experiment. That's international law. And that is federal law, and guess what? It's mimicked in the states. And every country that signed on to those, it's got the exact same thing in their law. So what are we doing about it? The conspiracy is so vast, how do we overcome that? Well, we decided to create a form criminal complaint, and we did, and we put it online. And 12,000 people so far have downloaded that. Many are completing it, and they're filing it because we've got a secret weapon. And that secret weapon is called universal jurisdiction. It so happens that these crimes are so egregious, if proven, that anybody, anywhere, has the right to investigate it, and anybody, anywhere, has the right to pursue criminal charges. And that's what we're doing. People are looking for an outlet. People are looking for a way to help. We are all here trying to help. Now anybody, everybody across the world has the opportunity to do that. They can download the form complaint. They can just put in their own little bits of law. My colleagues and I are here to help them, and they file them with their local law enforcement, typically. It could be with the local legislature. Why? To create reasonable suspicion there might be a crime. And there is. There is no informed consent. That's a crime. It's an experimental drug that they are coercing people into taking. That is a crime. So all we're doing is laying out all these steps for investigators. We're doing their job for them. Guess what? We've also added exhibits. Guess what? We're also doing the job of the prosecuting attorneys. We're just making it possible for people to do something and to raise this up and get people involved. And in the worst case scenario, what have we done? We've educated law enforcement. So when they come with the mandatory shots, that deputy, that police officer, that person in the military might think twice if they've seen our evidence. And they say, you know what, this is a crime, and it's illegal for me to enforce a crime. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Sheldon Karasik. I'm a New York-based attorney who's been spending about 70 hours a week over the past 3 to 4 months fighting vaccine mandates in various jurisdictions. And it is with great pleasure that I do that. The principal tool that I've been employing is a religious objection or a religious exemption. Not only do we have a right to bodily autonomy, we have a right to religious autonomy. And that right is set forth in various places. It's found in federal anti-discrimination law. It's found in parallel state anti-discrimination laws. And if the entity that we're fighting against is the government or a public institution. It's found in the First Amendment. And it's a fundamental right, as Jim was talking about before when he discussed fundamental rights. These institutions, whether it's the government, whether it's a private employer, whether it's a university, don't count on the student or the employee fighting back. They don't count on them getting a lawyer. And they certainly don't count on the lawyer writing a letter laying out in excruciating detail how their religious exemption applies and it's discrimination or unconstitutional if they force that student or employee to get the vaccine. We fight that. We fight that every day. But what they also don't understand, these institutions that try to mandate it, is this, and it's very important. They don't have the power to question the sincerity of one's religious beliefs. There's only one entity, he's up there somewhere, who has that power. You do not have to have gone to a yeshiva, Sunday school, or be a fervent churchgoer to assert a religious exemption. The reason is, it all depends on what's in your heart and what's in your soul. And as the doctors spoke about, these great advances have been made in medicine, but I'm not aware of anybody who can yet look inside your heart and soul and see the integrity of your beliefs. And that's what we fight, and we're going to fight it in another way. And one of the things I'm trying to do, in line with the fact that one's religious beliefs can't be questioned, is expand what a religious belief is. What is it? It is what your heart and soul feels. It's what your belief, core belief system involves. It doesn't have to be traditional. It doesn't have to be Islam, Judaism, Christianity. Once we expand it and try to bring it into a way, and there's precedent in the law, and we can do this, to encompass a philosophical, a moral, an ethical belief system opposed to certain practices, such as the vaccine mandate, then we can really open the door using the religious exemption to challenge this nonsense on non-religious bases. And that's what I'm trying to do, and we will succeed in that endeavor.
Hi, my name's Colton Boyles. I'm an Idaho attorney. I'm also licensed in Washington and New Mexico. The reason that I'm here is because I believe it's better to have a millstone tied around your neck than to harm one child. And what have we seen happen? Thank you. And what have we seen happen for almost 500 days in this country that was built on religious freedom and the protection of the parental family relationship? It's been totally destroyed. I've been working on religious exemptions. I've been working on fighting for parents who want to make medical decisions for themselves and their children. And I see a bunch of doctors who have put their license on the line, their livelihood on the line, and we need to step up and we need to support them. And that's what America's Frontline Doctors does. There is nothing more important than the idea of informed consent, because the doctor is not my God. The doctor is not my boss. But the doctor does help me make a better decision by supplying me with information. And we are lacking seriously appropriate and accurate information. We've been lied to. We've been abused, and we are now being coerced with economic coercion to either take the clot shot or the scab stab without our appropriate informed consent. Illegal provisions and contracts, unconstitutional provisions and contracts cannot be enforced in the law. So I'm calling out to every other attorney who is not in this fight and every other judge who is not looking directly at this assault on our fundamental liberties to step up, get off your hands, and join the fight. Ask yourself, why does a murderer or a rapist get a public defender? Why are they entitled to a defense? Because if the government can step on their rights, they can do it to anybody. And the government is doing that to us now. In Idaho, we have zero deaths under the age of 18 due to coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, the Delta, the fear scare, whatever it is, zero deaths under 18. But our National Guard has been deployed to do mobile vaccination clinics on school property at our middle schools. I find that egregious. I think this is about civil rights. I think this is a bipartisan issue, and I fully support and endorse America's frontline doctors in their fight, and I ask you to do the same. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Dave Wilson, veteran, retired Army. Thank you. You've heard a lot about the most vulnerable, the children and the elderly. I want to point out another group. As a soldier for 20 years, I was taught to follow orders, and that's what I did. I followed orders, and I didn't question them. And now the military is being targeted and told, line up and get that shot. It's an order, and it's wrong. It violates the Nuremberg Code. It violates the emergency use authorization because they're not being informed how this can harm them. And I won't go into all those stories I've heard about soldiers being harmed, but how does that impact us? We have the greatest warriors in the world, and we're impacting readiness because these people will not be able to fight if they have brain tumors, myocarditis, lethargia, all kinds of other problems because they're not being told and they're just, they believe, hey, it's an order, I have to follow it. There was one instance where a platoon of soldiers who didn't want the vaccine is being told, you're going to stand in formation four times a day while we harass you until you get the vaccine. Or guess what? You can't go home on leave because you didn't get the vaccine. This is wrong. So I encourage you, tell any military or military family or veterans, go to AFLDS.org and click on military and get the information and the support you need. Thank you.
As most people know, I'm a physician, but I'm also an attorney, and I really feel so much pride. I could not feel more pride in the group of people standing behind me. We are fighting for the American people, and when we fight for American freedom and American constitutional rights, we are fighting for people all over the world. You've heard today from some of the talented, courageous warriors that are working around the clock to preserve freedom. You've heard different kinds of legal theories. When you come to AmericasFrontlineDoctors.org, you can arm yourself with the information that you need. Right now, July 2021, these shots are still under emergency use authorization. That gives you a lot of legal opportunity to push back. So we have all that information waiting for you on the legal page, on the military page. Things could change if full approval is granted. However, I urge everyone to not jump the gun. You have to make your own informed decision. We have a lot of people who've taken a shot that they didn't want to take because they're anticipating their college will say you have to do this, or they're anticipating they can't travel. My advice is to make the best medical decision you can for yourself and not to jump the gun. Right at this moment, it's under EUA. It cannot actually be forced. There are certain pockets that are being put in extraordinarily difficult situations. And I want to echo my colleague when I say to the soldiers that your stories in particular I find very heartbreaking because you're in a very tough spot. But again, don't jump the gun. It's still under EUA. We encourage people to read on our website if you are eligible to become a plaintiff in some of our lawsuits. But even if you're not exactly in that category that we need, there's so much information there for you to push back on the medical tyranny in your own life. The majority of our freedom is going to come from citizens pushing back in their own lives. You are going to face uncomfortable choices, America. There may come a day when your employer says you're going to be fired if you don't do this. And you still need to think long and hard. It's Russian roulette. It might be fine. It might not be fine. It has to be your decision. You cannot let somebody else make this decision. And the reason is, if you make your own decision and something untoward happens, you'll be able to live with it. But the people who are making this decision at the behest of somebody else, their job, their spouse, their mother, right? They can't live with it. The worst situations are the people who have a bad outcome and they didn't want it in the first place. We have so many nurses that just lined up for it because that's what they had to do, because their jobs were telling them to do so, that have had bad effects. Those people are such tragic stories because it wasn't actually their choice. So no matter what your decision, make sure it's your own decision. Come to AmericasFrontlineDoctors.org, look at the medical, look at the legal resources we have. I sometimes finish up by saying AFLDS is the real ACLU. We are here fighting for your civil rights, right? We are pushing back on medical tyranny. I'm proud to stand with my physician colleagues, and I'm proud to stand with my attorney colleagues. God bless America. Thank you.